I hope we're on. Okay, it's good to be here. Appreciate the invitation, and we had a great evening and night and breakfast at the right bed and breakfast. Appreciate her hospitality. That was great, and a good fellowship, and had a good night's rest. You know, this morning I woke up early, kind of just, you know, how you wake up and you're kind of half awake and so on, and I got to thinking, for some reason, or I hadn't thought about this for a long time, this is my home stamping area, really. How many of you know where Hunter Road is? I was born at the Peters Farm. Anybody remember the Peters Farm? Some hands back here. I was born there. My dad rented that farm. It was the first farm that he rented. And I came along, and we left there when I think I was about 4 years old, but that was where I started. And in fact, my grandparents and two uncles are buried in Roscoe Cemetery. So not far from roots here. Good to be with you. And we just want to say a little bit about the state work. Our passion is church planting. And I've been in this position since 08, and I think that has grown since that time, not because of me, but because of the board. We have pastors that have a passion for church planting. And I've just been very glad to see that grow over these years. We're right now, we are actually praying for a new church planter, that God would lead somebody to us. The last church that we planted, of course, was Nathan Barber over in Shorewood, and God just brought him to us and said, "I want to plant a church. Will you help me?" And we're praying that that'll happen again. So I wish you'd pray along with us that will happen soon. We'd like to get, it takes preparation to plant a church. I think it takes about 9 months to a year to really get the groundwork to, you know, you got to decide where you're going and get all the details worked out until you can have your first service. So it takes time. And we are just praying every day for that to happen. And I trust you'll remember the Neals and the Barbers, of course, is there around the front lines. Unless we continue to, we're losing ground. Let me say that first of all. We're losing ground because we see so many churches that are going the wrong direction. And they're losing out on evangelism and at home as well as the foreign field. In fact, a couple of years ago, I got a letter from a pastor here in the state. And I think they're probably doing pretty well at home, but he told me that they were changing their philosophy and that they were putting the emphasis mainly on planting churches on the foreign field. And I thought, woe be to us. This is the home base for most of missionaries around the world. And unless we keep strong churches here, we're not going to have missionaries to send out. And so there's got to be a balance. I realize we should go to the ends of the earth to win people, but we've got to keep a strong home base in order for this, the whole picture to be accomplished. And so we just trust that we can continue to start new churches, and we need God to send us a man. As the pastor was talking about in the Sunday school hours this morning, pray that the Lord, the harvest, would send forth laborers. The harvest is great. The harvest, I must say, today, because of change in our society in America, it's a lot harder to plant a church than what it used to be. I was involved in planting a church, my first ministry, in fact, in this state was planning a church. There was a Bible study going before I got there, but I was the first full-time pastor in Oregon, Illinois, and I could go out and get most homes, they'd open the door and I'd come in and witness to them and lead people to the Lord. And boy, that is real work today. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, because I think that's God's plan, but it's much more difficult today than it was then. And there are several reasons for that. I wish you would pray for us too as we travel around and preach in different churches, or just visit. New pastor comes in the state, I like to go visit with him and encourage his heart. And we've been out five or six months, we've been out just about every week and trying to do just that. And of course, I fill in with some pastors on vacation, one thing or another too. But I might mention, you can kind of keep, if you don't do this, you can kind of keep up with our work at AIBCI.org, our website. I try to keep that up to date, the things that are current. And of course, pray for our annual meeting that's coming in just a few weeks now in Chillicothe, Illinois. And then we have a men's conference in March, and that'll be in Pecatonica. So that's not too far away. We have a ladies' retreat down in Pekin this year. That's in April. So that's a good time of fellowship. You know, you need the evangelism, but you got to have some fellowship too, and encourage each other. Sometimes we feel like we're alone out there in the wilderness trying to serve the Lord, and we got to realize there's a lot of other like-minded pastors and people, churches around too, and we need the fellowship, and we need to encourage each other. We're all well aware of the fact that in our country, in our world today, we are very much, shall we say, the unliked, some cases the hated. It's changed considerably, and we won't go any further into that. But pray for the state work. Appreciate that. I'd like to have you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, just one verse to get us started this morning in verse 10. I thought that the starting of a missionary conference, it would be good for us to just remember what Jesus said here, and to remember the lost. The people that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And that's the majority out there, and they're lost without hope. We're living in a society today that doesn't, really doesn't understand spiritual things, of course, but they believe everybody's going to heaven. There's a greater emphasis on that. Very little is said about hell or eternal punishment, but we've forgotten that people are lost or going to hell. I see that spirit. In some of my family, my cousins and so on, and others that we just, everybody's saved. You notice that? Everybody's going to heaven. It doesn't make any difference how bad they are or how good they are. I mean, especially when they die, they can be the scoundrel in the community and they die and he's a saint. Everybody's going to heaven, right? No, they're not. We've lost that, and many times we are influenced as believers. We're influenced by that spirit as well. Sometimes we have family and that pass out of this world and they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. And are we really concerned about them? before they die? Do we have a heart for those who are lost? You see, Jesus came, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them that are lost. That's a word that ought to strike our hearts. Lost. Lost for eternity. This is not something that's... We are in a war today. This is a battlefield. It's not a playground that we're in. We forget about the enemy and the conflict that's going on for the hearts of men. When I think about that, I think of back there in the Old Testament when God, the nation of Israel had sinned, and God was sending a plague upon the nation of Israel, and Moses said to Aaron, get some coals off of the altar and rush out and run amongst the people. Be that person who run amongst them. You're standing between the living and the dead. And folks, today as believers, we are standing between the living and the dead. We have the message the dead need. That's the challenge. You know, when I was a pastor, your pastor wouldn't do this, but mine, I've thought sometimes as I got up to preach as a pastor, I thought, boy, I wish I could scare these people, especially the unsaved. I could say something from the Bible to just scare them to death so they'd realize they had a lost soul. And sometimes I thought, well, you know, if I could just get them angry, just get them upset, get them thinking about it. We're so lassed, you know, we're laid back with spiritual things, and if we could just get them excited. If I could just have an unsaved, this would be a great experience. I'd rather have them say, well, preacher, while you were preaching this morning, I trusted Christ as Savior. But, you know, if they shook my hand on the way out and said, man, I hate you. Well, at least he's thinking, you know. At least there's some spiritual reaction. So, we got to remember that we are in that battle. People are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and do not know Christ as your Savior, it doesn't make any difference how good you may be or what's happened in your life. You're lost for eternity unless you turn to Christ. A few things. I got to get going in my message here. The first thing about the lost, to be lost means that it means to be living without life. Living without life. The human race is a race of zombies, corpses, and performing, yet without life. You may ask, well, how is it that I'm dead? Because of sin. Sin. Your sin nature you received from Adam. The human race needs life. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you need life. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. There is no other. No matter how much man connives and tries to rationalize and all kinds of things, and try to interpret Scripture in different ways and tear it apart, and it's still, without Christ, they're lost. The human race faces eternal death. Revelation 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, at that great white throne judgment. Of course, it will be just the unsaved there. Small and great stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. It had nothing to do there with salvation. People that are standing at the great white throne judgment are lost forever. They made a decision before they left this earth, either to accept Christ or to reject Christ, I should say. And they're dead spiritually. If we are dead, if you are dead today, you don't have to stay dead. You don't have to stay dead. Eternal death is a state of existence forever. We need to remember that. It's so easy to become immune to the fact that eternal death, person unsaved, it's forever in hell. Lost without life. I can remember a lady coming, moved in across the street from church where I was ministering, and this is some years back. Family moved in almost across the street from the church, and they started coming. They were Baptist, quote unquote. They started coming to our church, and one thing I never did was beg anybody to join the church. So I never talked about it at all, and they came regularly, I think Sunday morning, Sunday night. I don't know if they came on Wednesday night or not, but they came for about 6 months or so, and she came to me one day. The Lord had worked in her heart. And she said to me, you know, it's the first time that I realize that all I have to do to be saved to go to heaven is trust Jesus as my Savior. She was lost, and she came to the realization she'd been baptized. She was a church member, but lost. Secondly, to be lost means to see without sight, to lack vision. We all come into this world blind. You were born blind. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But you say, well, just like this lady, but you know, she might have said, she didn't say that to me, but I've been baptized. I'm a church member. I'm a good person. I'm religious. But your blindness makes you trust in your works. I think that's, you know, Satan keeps the unsaved blind to the fact that they can trust in their works. Satan blinds us. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He sends along material possessions and pleasures and even religion to sidetrack people from the truth, that they would see the truth. Excuse me. Your vision gets worse as the years go by. You know, most people that are saved, they're saved when they're young. Greater percent, I think they still say before they're age 20, 18 or 20, most people are saved. But you know, praise God, there are people, senior citizens, that get saved too, and I've seen a lot of that happen. We turn from the truth. I think of Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah went through that experience of seeing the Lord in his holiness. And he was cleansed by the coals off the altar and so on. He got his heart right with God. And then God said to Isaiah, I want you to go. I want you to go and tell this people. Preach to them. These people that hear ye indeed and understand not, and see indeed but perceive not. And the interesting thing there is the fact that Isaiah said to God, he said, how long do you want me to preach to them? And he says, until the cities are vacant, there's nobody left. You know, we need to be faithful, folks, in presenting the gospel. Sometimes we give up on people. We look at, I don't know if you're that way or not, but I've done it over the years. I've had, maybe somebody visits church or I come in contact with somebody and I think, man, that person's a good contact for salvation. Guess what? They never get saved. And somebody else, I'll say, that person will never get saved. Guess what? God saves them. You ever had that happen? I've seen that happen several times. It isn't up to us to choose who's going to be saved or lost. We're just supposed to preach the gospel. Even when people oppose us, we still preach the gospel. Gospel light helps us to see. Again, across the street from that same church, a couple, elderly couple, moved in one day. They had been farmers out east of town for all their lives. They were in their probably upper 70s or lower 80s, lower 80s at the time. And I went and called on them. And through the process of a short time, they were religious people. They'd gone to church there in town. I'm sure they were members of one of the churches there in town. But I witnessed to them, and both of them got saved. And you know, they became just joyous Christians. It was amazing. God can save the older folk as well. Then thirdly, to be lost means to have knowledge without understanding. We came into this world not knowing where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. That's all of us came in the world that way. Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. Acts 28:26. Go unto this people and say, and this is actually again with the Apostle Paul, a quote from Isaiah 6. Go and hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. But then, of course, Romans 10:17, by faith. So then by faith cometh hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the authority of the word of God, and spreading it to that people can hear the truth and have the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Even believers can be dull of hearing. Romans or Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11, whom we have had many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Sometimes we as believers become dull of hearing. We don't listen when the pastor preaches. I think one of the things that happens to us in listening to the in church, as well as when you're reading the Bible, I don't know about you, but I have to work at reading Scripture, especially. The devil doesn't want me to read Scripture. And I don't know how many hundreds of times over the years that I've sat down to read my Bible and I could read 6 verses or 10 verses, and I stop and think, what did I read? I have to go back and read it over again. I wasn't even concentrating on what it was saying. And we don't listen to the scripture a lot of times. We're not really connected. We don't listen. Please hear the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, you need to listen. We need to concentrate. We need to be focused on what God has to say to us. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus there speaking of him, behold, here he is speaking, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. God, Christ wants that fellowship with us. And I realize that's, as far as I'm concerned, is not the primary interpretation of that practice. Of that passage, I think the primary interpretation of that passage is he's standing outside the church and wants to get in. That's the context as far as I'm concerned. But he wants fellowship with us. And you know, it's a pretty sad commentary. There are many churches today, I'm afraid, that he's standing outside the door wanting to get in. They've forgotten all about him. Oh, they're going through their religious rigmarole. Please understand, you need to listen to the Word. Fourthly, the lost means, to be lost means to die without hope. Let's think first of all of the glad reunion the believer is going to have. But there's no glad reunion for the unsaved, the lost. That 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If you're here this morning and do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're not going to be there in that rapture. There's no hope for you unless you turn to Christ. There's not going to be any glad reunion. There's not going to be a time when you see your Savior's face. Just fear of judgment. I had a man who, for years, came to church. Couple came to church. His wife had trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. But they came every Sunday morning for I don't know how many years. He'd listen, he'd hear the gospel, and reject it. I went and called on him one day. Witnessed to him, and no. He said, I'm a stubborn old German. He still came to church. I sat his granddaughter died. She was only, I don't know, 5-6 years old, as I remember. And she died, and we sat, I can still remember sitting in the funeral home at the visitation for that funeral, sitting in the back of the area there. He was sitting in their chair, and I went and talked to him, and I said, you're not going to see this granddaughter again unless you trust Christ as your Savior. No, he wouldn't turn to Christ. Shortly, I knew he had some physical problems, and shortly it came to the place where he wasn't going to be living long. I called him and I said, can I come talk to you? He said, nope. On his deathbed, his daughter told me this later. She sat and begged him to trust Christ as Savior. And finally, he turned his face to the wall and died, refusing Christ. Lost. Christian today, does that stir your heart? For those of your relatives, your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, unless they trust Christ as Savior, they're lost. I think often of that man, to think of the suffering. He's in hell today with no hope, lost. Fifthly, to be lost means to face judgment without an advocate, without any help, without a go-between. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. The believer has an advocate. John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not, but if any man sin, have an advocate with the Father. We as believers have that advocate. We have a go-between. He's paid the debt of our sin. That's a whole thing itself. We could get sidetracked in that for a while. When we trusted Him as Savior, we were declared righteous before Him because He died on the cross to pay the debt of our sin. The lost will stand alone. Jesus said, Matthew 7, and then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Alone, lost. Probably been, 3 months ago, probably 3 or 4 now. Had a cousin who died. She was just a month younger than I am. Fairly suddenly, she had fallen and hit her head and severely and got internal bleeding, and they didn't know it till it was too late. A religious lady, nice lady. She had worked for church hard over the years, served in all kinds of capacities and working with people and so on. And I didn't have a whole lot of contact with her, sometimes on email, and my sister had had some contact, and we thought, well, maybe she has really come to the truth of salvation, and maybe she did. I'm not the final judge, but I went to her funeral, and it just broke my heart. Talked to her husband, some, and her family. But you know, that funeral, there wasn't anything. Oh, there was some eulogy about her, but nothing. The so-called, I shouldn't say it that way, but the pastor that was there didn't say anything about salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, resurrection, eternal life, faith in Him, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, it was just a funeral, for sure. I mean, that's kind of, for a saved person, you know, today, some funerals for saints are a glorious time, you know, depending on one way or another. I hope when I check out, it's going to be a glorious time. But it was just sad. And I really personally don't have much hope that she made, that she ever trusted Christ. It was just a lot of religion. Lost. Alone. Lastly, to be lost means eternal existence without God. Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 2, ye were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in this world. That's the way the unsaved people are. Our life, your life begins at conception. And you will never cease to be a person. The body will die, but you'll live on forever. What a tragedy. If you're here this morning and do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, why haven't you trusted Him? What's keeping you from it? You say, preacher, you're talking to a bunch of good people, members of Heritage Baptist Church in Rockford. Don't you know who you're talking to? Yeah, I hope that all of you are saved. Bless God, I hope that all of you are. But my experience as a pastor tells me that maybe that's not true. Because I've seen deacons saved. I've seen Sunday school teachers saved. I mean, they were good religious people, but they finally came to the place where they realized they were lost without Christ. I wonder today, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, why not? Is the pleasures of this world? Is it the fact that if you get saved, you can't do some things you want to do? Jesus said, if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, it's worthless. It counts for nothing. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Lost. I think every day. That's why it's so important that we learn in the Word of God every day. Because it reminds us how things really are. It reminds us that we're in a world that's lost and dying without Jesus Christ. If we're not in the Word and fellowship with God on a daily basis, we forget that. And we begin to just live for ourselves and forget about the lost. But you know, it's great for us that are saved. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's the glorious truth of salvation. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior today, you can have that hope, you can have that peace, you can have that assurance. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. K-N-O-W. Not guess so. If you're not saved this morning, you know it. If you are saved, I'm sure you know it as well. You may not always be what God wants you to be, but down deep inside there's a witness of the Holy Spirit. You know, the most tragic words, I think, in the English language is almost, but lost. Almost, but lost. And I want to close just with this speaking to us that are unsaved, that are saved. We must believe, we must remember that unless the person, it doesn't make any difference how good they may be, or what we think about them, unless they have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, they're lost forever. And if you're here and do not know Christ as your Savior, without believing in Christ, you're lost. Without hope. That word believe. That word believe, not my definition. Some of you will recognize probably of a salvation plan that's out by John Van Gelderen. But, you know, believe just means that you understand the gospel. You understand you're lost, you're a sinner, you're hell bound, and you need a Savior, and you trust Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, you understand that's the gospel. But secondly, in believing, you've got to agree with that. You've got to agree, yes, that's me. That's me. I'm a sinner. I'm hell bound. I need Christ as my personal Savior. And then you've got to depend totally on Jesus Christ for salvation. Not something else. Not Christ plus something else, but just Him. Alone for salvation. I wonder, what's God saying to your heart this morning? Where are you spiritually? Do you know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? You know, that's the blessed message of salvation. You can know. If you don't know, today could be the day. If you'll turn your heart to Christ, today is the day you could have that assurance for eternity. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. And I'm not asking you to do that because I'm going to pull some trick while you're not looking. I want you to look in, allow the Holy Spirit to look into your heart this morning. Where are you going to be when you die? One second after you die, where are you going to be? I hope it's heaven. I hope you can answer that. It's heaven. But maybe there's somebody here this morning that can't do that. You see, you might say, well, I just don't know, but according to what the Bible says, I'll be in hell. I wonder, in this quiet moment right now, if you're not saved, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'd like to pray for you. Especially, I'm not going to point you out, embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you right now. Would you just slip that hand up and take it down quickly? I don't know you. God knows your heart. Are you here this morning and you don't know Him? Would you just slip that hand up? I'd like to pray for you. All right, Christian. I trust we have been reminded this morning of the lost. Those who have never trusted Christ as Savior are lost forever. And we know, all of us know a lot of them. A lot of people that are lost. And we need to tell them the good news of the gospel. Heavenly Father, work in our hearts as we close this service. Lord, just whatever the need is there, maybe there's a believer that really needs to let this truth grip their hearts and need to go witness to somebody even today. And if there is someone that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that they would come before this service is finished. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.